Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. We're in the fourth week of the government shutdown, and we need to look at this situation to see if there are any biblical spiritual truths that we can draw from the event. Remember, God orchestrates all things for our education. They're either a blessing or a curse, but everything is still meant to give us a knowledge of sin and lead us to Christ. Now, if we don't see events in this light, we're truly what is often called low-information voters. So first, the outward occasion for this shutdown. On October 1st, the Congress and the Senate needed to pass legislation allowing for the government to spend, or rather, borrow more money. And the core problem here is that the federal government brings in $4.9 trillion a year in revenue and then turns around and spends $6.9 trillion. You know, that means the government must increase the debt every year by about $2 trillion. And increasing the money supply by the government borrowing money creates inflation, and it's a hidden tax. There's also the problem of the federal government having to pay interest on that debt. Last year, the interest on the debt was $880 billion. We spent actually $997 billion on our military. So debt interest payments just about equals military spending. So just think about this. If over the last 20 years, Congress and the people wouldn't have been so greedy for more government services and handouts, our military spending today would essentially be paid for. If only Congress would have required tax revenues to increase for every dollar of expenditure, but the people wanted government largesse without having to pay for it. And just like a family that gets into heavy credit card debt, and the interest on their credit cards soon become equal to their mortgage payment. If they never borrowed money in the first place, they would be so much more wealthy. Now, borrowing never increases wealth. It actually decreases wealth and increases poverty. It gives borrowers a false sense of wealth. Borrowing means a little less pain today, but a lot more pain tomorrow. And borrowing always means future poverty. Because if you can't pay for it today, you certainly are not going to be able to pay for it tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 has never been proven wrong. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. So therefore, always live by the command in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything. Now, in regard to the $38 trillion in federal debt, $2 trillion is the deficit, $38 trillion is the actual debt, our greed will be our nation's undoing. The U.S. economy will someday collapse. Inflation will skyrocket. Debt payments will be unsustainable, and the dollar will be valueless. And the government can't simply erase all of its debt and start all over without there being the loss of people's wealth. So the first and most obvious spiritual lesson in this current government shutdown is that it foreshadows a greater collapse to come. And we need to be prepared. We need to readjust our priorities. We need to stop living for materialism. Government workers have seen these shutdowns before, but they expect that they'll eventually get paid after a few weeks of essentially paid vacation. But realize that a day is coming when the party's going to be over. The well's going to be dry. And what will you do in the end thereof? And those are the words of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 3. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the devastation which is to come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? Also, Isaiah 47, but evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction about which you do not know will come upon you suddenly. And all this will happen in America because we've forsaken God and his law. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, someone might say it has nothing to do with apostasy from God. It's just bad economic policy. Well, this is how it works. God doesn't have to send direct judgments. He often lets the punishment built into the sin punish the sinner. That way, no one can say everything was just fine, but God came along with a big stick. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. God builds the punishment into the sin itself. So a departure from God results in people filling that void with materialism, and that materialism, combined with the sinful disposition of the godless, results in greed, and that greed results in people wanting everything right now, and it results in debt, and businesses going bankrupt, and closures, and the offshoring of manufacturing, and government overspending, and that results in economic collapse. In America's departure from God, in banning the teaching of the Word of God in public education, in the courts, and in the law, the result is social lawlessness, immoral sexual behavior, but also economic lawlessness. You can't have the one without the other. They come in a package, and they both destroy people's lives. Show me a sexually, socially immoral man, and I will show you an economically immoral man. Now, in regard to the coming economic collapse in America, remember also James chapter 5, verse 5. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your heart in the day of slaughter. Now, of course, many Americans still work by the sweat of their brow, but many do not. And many expect everyone to build them a house, to build them cars and roads and provide for their food, while all they have to do is shuffle some papers in an office or rubber stamp some government document. They have a little idea of how things really work, or they have no idea how to make anything. And many Americans think that they deserve some sort of entitlements from government, and somehow the other guy needs to pay for it. Well, that day is coming to an end. James chapter 5. You have lived luxurious on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your heart in the day of slaughter. Case in point, what's happening in New York City? New Yorkers are now starting to reap the consequences of money printing and inflation. So the people are turning to communism, thinking that communism will solve their problem. And that's what's really behind the popularity of Mandani. And this is what always takes place when people in their greed begin to reap the consequences. They turn to the promises of false teachers, which is also God's punishment built into the greed. Here's an article. New York City turns to full-blown communism. Quote, most voters have no idea why any of this is happening, and they don't seem to care enough to find out. Unquote. So back to my main point. I believe one of the main spiritual lessons in this shutdown, the message that we should be hearing from God, is stop putting your trust and confidence in the wealth in this world. Your confidence in your retirement, your 401k, the investment you have in your house. Because it's all going up in flames, figuratively, and maybe even literally, maybe even sooner than most people realize. The government shutdown should remind us that there's no future in trying to find immaterial wealth, financial security in this world. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains this very clearly. Matthew chapter 6, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And don't be like the rich fool who saves up a big bank account and says to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Now, practically, if you're one of these government workers who have been laid off or furloughed, don't be angry at the president or at Congress. Don't demand that the country owes you a job. You know, be thankful for the years that you had a nice government job rather than being angry for the years that you won't have a government job. Remember, you are working for a business, the federal government, that's going bankrupt and they can't afford you. You know, you may think that the public needs all of these government services, but they really don't. The main biblical role of government is law enforcement, not cradle to grave government care. So the Christian's response to layoffs and cutbacks should always be gratitude. And the rolling up of one's sleeves to go into the private sector and to provide goods and services that people will gladly purchase. And I just hope you realize that Christians have a much different understanding concerning what they expect from other people and from government. I was recently at an event where someone wanted to engage me in a political conversation. I didn't initiate anything, but he asked me if I supported Trump. And then he went on to say, if anyone supports Trump, he is a blankety blank idiot. And I asked him, well, what's the problem? And he said, Trump, in the big, beautiful bill passed in July, cut billions from the SNAP food program, food stamps, and therefore Trump is starving millions of people. Well, that sounds very bad. And I'm sure one could find a biblical verse condemning such cuts, such as Proverbs 22:9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Or Proverbs 22:16. He who oppresses the poor to make himself more, or he who gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Or how about Proverbs 29:7? The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such concerns. With those verses in hand, a religious Democrat could condemn the Republicans as being Ebenezer Scrooge until we discover the details of the legislation. Funding to SNAP was not cut. The only change was in the requirements to receive SNAP. If you are a single able-bodied adult, you no longer get SNAP automatically at age 54. The age requirement is now 64. And also, you don't automatically get SNAP if you're a veteran or if you're homeless. Now you're subject to some time limits and some work requirements. Also, you don't automatically get SNAP if you have children at home under 18. Now the age is 14. And remember, such teenagers can get free breakfast and lunch at school. And in all this, there are now some work requirements for adults. You have to work at least 20 hours a week if you're an able-bodied adult without dependent children. And so this is not an outright cut to SNAP funding, but a change in eligibility requirements. But Democrats will still claim this will be cutting $186 billion from SNAP over the next 10 years. But what really amazes me is that this individual complained about these changes because he actually believed that it's the government's responsibility to give free food to all able-bodied adults who want it, regardless of whether they work or not. That able-bodied adults should be able to sit on the couch all day and have the government give them food. So actually, the biblical text that should be referenced here is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." So many people would say, well, how cruel that is of the Apostle Paul, forcing people to have to work for food. Well, sorry that this is God's commandment, Genesis chapter 3. Curses the ground because of you, and toil you will eat of it all of the days of your life. By the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. And people to this day still hate God for that. And ever since people have been trying to weasel around that commandment, forcing and expecting other people to provide them food. And there are whole political parties and political systems that oppose the essence of Genesis chapter 3. Now, as Christians, we're compassionate, but biblically, we have the right balance between compassion and tough love. It's Genesis 3 that we need to obey. It's really good for our body and for our soul. And this is the principle that guides a Christian nation and Christian people. I mean, if you want to destroy your soul, become a freeloader off of others. Well, anyway, back to the subject at hand, the government shutdown. The bigger point is this. What do you expect the government to do for you? Provide for you food, provide for you housing, provide for you a well-paying job, provide for you health care? That's atheistic communism. That's not Christianity. And not only is that unbiblical and antichrist, it doesn't work in practice. Communism produces poverty. Now, the occasion the Democrats are using to not vote for funds to run the government is their objection to the ending of the COVID subsidies for Obamacare medical insurance. They believe the government owes people free health care. Now, recognize that federal spending before COVID in 2019 was $4.4 trillion. Now it's $6.9 trillion because when COVID arrived, Congress increased spending by about 45%. But now that COVID has ended, the bureaucracy has become so accustomed to that money, it's nearly impossible to reduce the outlay. If you take it back, you'll be labeled by the left as cutting entitlements to the poor. Now, if the government would just return to pre-COVID levels of government spending, even given inflation, the U.S. budget would now be balanced. There would be no deficit and no additions to the national debt. We'd be bringing in $4.9 trillion in revenue and spending $4.9 trillion. And the only way to save the American economy from collapsing is to return to these pre-COVID spending levels. So on November 1st, the increased COVID subsidies to Obamacare will end. The Republicans are not cutting funding to Obamacare. The funding is just returning to what it used to be before COVID. Congress and the Democrats voted back in 2019 that this funded would be given a time limit. But the Democrats like the fact that people have to pay less for Obamacare, and they want to make it permanent. In fact, socialists would like the government to pay for everyone's health care and just have a one-payer system. Now, even though the Republicans have the majority in the House and the Senate has a rule that there needs to be a 60% majority vote to pass certain bills. And in this case, this continuing resolution finance bill. In the last vote, the 12th vote on October 23rd, at least three Democrats have come over to the side of the Republicans. They want the government open regardless of the Obamacare subsidies. That would be John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Catherine Masto of Nevada, and Angus King of Maine. That gives the Republicans 54 votes, but they still need 60 votes to fund the government. I've never really favored this 60-vote Senate rule. I understand the original intent of the rule. It was passed so that any legislation would be bipartisan. I mean, what good is legislation if 49% of the public is against it? But still, the whole intent of our Constitution is that the majority rules. And this 60% rule means that a 40% minority has the power over the majority. But anyway, the Democrats are using this Senate rule to stop the Republicans. And their opposition goes back to the big, beautiful bill passed in July. That bill did not require a 60% majority in the Senate. So the Democrats couldn't stop it. But they knew that when the fall came around, they could stop the Trump administration by withholding the funds in this upcoming continual resolution funding bill. Now the occasion and the talking point is that the Democrats say they're standing up for people's health care. But political insiders and the pundits all know that this is about a whole lot more. The goal is to shut down all of the policies of the Trump administration. They want to deny the military money so that drug dealers out of Venezuela are not targeted. They want to deny the funding of ICE so that illegal immigrants are not deported. They know that cutting federal funding will prevent National Guard troops from protecting cities from crime. And this is the Democrats' revenge for the Trump administration cutting billions from leftist institutions, special interest groups, and NGOs, which were the lifeline for the Democrat Party. This is the Democrats' revenge for halting DEI and the transgender movement. This is the Democrats' revenge for the Republicans' anti-globalism. And the most diehard Democrats believe that it's their duty to resist at all cost. I mean, this is what they've been saying in their protests. Even if it means government workers don't get paid, they believe this sacrifice is worth it for the greater cause. And they believe that with these government shutdowns, eventually the public will blame Trump and maybe side with the Democrats. At least that's their hope. Democrats have been planning this shutdown for some time. This is not just about Obamacare subsidies. I mean, they've lost the presidential election, and now they've lost that lawfare. The Supreme Court has overturned almost all of the leftist lower court judges who have issued injunctions against the president. The Democrats don't control the House or the Senate, so this is their next plan, to be obstructionists and to shut down the government. Lawfare doesn't work, so let's just shut it all down. And all of the Democrats who now refuse to open the government are the same Democrats who complained that it was un-American and hurtful to the American people to shut down the government for ideological reasons when the Republicans were using the filibuster against the Democrats. Here's an article from the Daily Wire. Schumer slammed for shutdown comments. He said the quiet part out loud. Quote from Senator Schumer, "Every day the government is shut down, it gets better for us, the Democrats. We've thought about this long in advance, and we knew that healthcare would be the focal point on September 30th, and we're prepared for it." So, in conclusion, let's just step back and look at what God is putting before us to see. Two sides with completely different political worldviews concerning what the government should be and what it should do. That's a big story here. And both sides believe that they're in the right because they have a different worldview and a different understanding of God and morality. And that always amazes me. We have the mayor of Chicago saying that labeling a person illegal is racist because he believes in open border globalism. Jasmine Crockett, congresswoman from Texas, she said last week, just because someone has committed a crime doesn't make that person a criminal. Last week, we had all seven Minnesota Supreme Court justices ruling that not allowing a man to compete in women's weightlifting is discrimination, because the Supreme Court justices deny God and the fact that God actually does discriminate between a man and a woman. That's why he made him different. Nancy Pelosi and California officials are threatening to arrest ICE agents for following federal law and deporting illegal criminals. In LA, an illegal immigrant rammed his car into ICE, and into an ICE vehicle, and he was previously just given an award by the city of LA for defending illegal immigrants. And the California Congressman Eric Swalwell says everyone who donates to the Trump White House renovation should be investigated, and all Democrat candidates for president should commit to tearing down Trump's new addition once they get into the White House to keep the president from President Trump from having any lasting legacy. That's how much they hate this man. But it's not the man. What they hate with a passion is Trump's worldview concerning morality and the law, because they want a much different universe. And as I've been saying over and over again in this program, what we're seeing here is the age-old battle between the godly and the godless, between the lawful and the lawless. And those who are followers of God, they base their morals on the law of God, the law of nature, nature's God. But those who are lawless base their morals on human freedom and affirming people. And in this, they believe they're virtuous because they're giving people moral freedom. But the scriptures define such people as lawless, those who reside under the judgment of God because they transgress God's law and his authority. And so it's no coincidence that those who are for abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism and communism are the people who hate and oppose this current administration. This government shutdown, just like the No Kings protest last week, they're just part of this bigger conflict. And this is what God and the scriptures want us to see in these current events, all to bring about a knowledge of sin, to expose the depravity of the human heart, and to lead those who are humble in heart to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is always, which side will you be on? Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.